Hey, it's Zach. It's the Best Advice Show. Today we are going to return to a topic we've discussed before, when and how to say no. And toward the end of the episode, my guest is going to tell you what he does every Sunday morning that I am so excited about trying myself.
So I'm Jonathan Fields. I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I'm a maker. I'm an author, media producer, founder of a number of different companies in the field of human potential, and somebody who is just curious about what it takes to live a good life. So my piece of advice is to consider doing fewer things better. So I'm a maker. The act of creation breathes me. It has from as far back as I can remember. Later in life, that expressed itself as an entrepreneur, as in so many different ways. I've built companies, brands, services, products, books, media experiences, all the yada yada. I am constantly scanning the horizon and seeing things that I could create, seeing problems I could solve. Just the maker impulse is really so central to my way of being. And in the past, that has led me to moments where I have found myself saying yes to a lot of different things all at once. And that could be all those different things I just listed. I could find myself doing all those things simultaneously.
Right.
So
right.
Writing three books, running two companies, trying to build a speaking career, making art, producing media, all while simultaneously trying to be as present as I can in the life of my family and taking care of myself. And what I found is that is largely a disaster. I have lived that full catastrophe. And in fact, I have woven in and out of that many times throughout my life, and probably safe to argue I'm even on the tail end of the process of weaving my way out of a recent season of manic maker yes land. What I've realized is this, it not only does a disservice to any given individual project that I've said yes to, it does a disservice to my own humanity, to my own state of physical and mental health, and also to those who might benefit from the completion of any one project at the highest possible level in the least amount of time. There's a bit of a corollary to this also, which I've realized. So while my mantra has very much become fewer things better, at the same time, I have also learned that I do like to have more than one thing going on at any given time. And that's because it gives me a way to shift gears when I find myself needing a break or getting stuck on one creative endeavor. So often shifting to another engages my mind in a way that not only lets me breathe more easily, but it lets my subconscious generative brain solve the problems, the stuckness in my original creative pursuit, so that I can go back to it and hit the ground running. So a recent example of this, if you know, I towards the end of last year, I took a month-long creative sabbatical. And the central project I was working on was actually a book. But at the same time, I bought a slab of tropical hardwood of live edge lily cut out of the side of a tree. And I would spend half of my days in my garage with some classic rock blaring and, you know, like a mask and goggles on and an orbital sander making a table out of this slab of wood. And I would find myself alternating between the two, and both informed the other, you know. So what my mind could just really go away when I'm working on the table, and it's subconsciously working on things that I want to then write about without me even realizing it. So
so the creative sabbatical, just to clarify, I thought for a second that meant you wouldn't do anything creative for a month, but you're saying you were just working on the book and the table exclusively?
Yeah, pretty much. So okay. I was, because, you know, in everyday life, I run two companies and also try and write and produce media and do other things.
Right.
It doesn't sound like a fewer things, better existence. And I found myself actually straying too far away from that state of doing fewer things better. And I needed a bit of a reset. So I literally took months along with my team to figure out how to carve out that possibility. And it was a reset both for me to just focus on two discrete creative projects, remember what it does to and for me, and simultaneously spend some time journaling about it while I was doing it to think about how I can bring this commitment back to the larger endeavors that I was going to step back to a month after it.
Yeah, that's always my question is you take that retreat, you take that sabbatical, you take that reset, you take that vacation. My wife and I always talk about what we can bring back from vacation that could just like exist in our day to day. So what were you able to integrate? Because you can't always live in that world of making a table and writing a book. That's a kind of creative monkish existence that probably isn't sustainable. So what do you do now to kind of live that life despite having all these other obligations?
Yeah. And by the way, you know, I'm not going to say that I stepped back into everything and I was a changed person and I continued with the fewer things better ethos. I try. I stumble and fumble and I'm human like everyone else. That said, what I realized was that I have a fantastic team. I'm incredibly blessed to work with amazing people who we've been traveling together, some of them actually for more than two decades. And so we have a level of trust and understanding and clarity. And part of it was just, you know, trusting them more. And also really looking at all the different tasks and processes that I was involved in and knowing that, there was probably a lot of systematization and automation that could be done that would create a whole lot of free time for me. To actually be able to focus on the fewer number of things that I'm generally better at and that I enjoy doing and that are going to make the greatest contribution to the bigger effort.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Because initially I was like, okay, I'm thinking about how to extrapolate your advice onto my own life, which I've got a bunch of projects going on. I am intoxicated by that moment of like someone asking me if I want to come aboard on a project and like help them think things through. But then I find myself, oh my God, I've got like seven things going on. That's too many. And so like, how do you know when it's the right amount? How does that feel different than the kind of manic yes, you know, yes to the siren?
Probably the best way to answer this would be to cite my dear friend and frequent collaborator, Charlie Gilkey, who basically says, we all have a certain number of units in our day. And the typical person really can't function effectively with more than five of those units in any given day. Or actually, I think it's actually ongoing, five projects going on in any given day. Now, the thing to know is that a project is not just a work project. A project is also your relationships. It's your health. You know, so if you've got five or six as your capacity, we probably really only have three or four to devote to our professional pursuits, to filling our contribution buckets on any given time, if they're substantial and meaningful projects. I think it would be wrong for me to actually give a universal answer that's appropriate for everybody. But I can tell you what works for me, which is that three substantial work projects tends to be my sweet spot. When I exceed that, I tend to suffer and they tend to suffer. And when I'm doing less than that, I feel like I want to do more.
And then when you're in the more ideal place of having, you know, that sweet spot of say three projects or whatever it is, can you tell me about the beginning of the workday and how you think about kind of mapping out your day, like very specifically? Do you have a to-do list? Do you have a calendar? What does that look like for you?
So actually every Sunday morning, I have, six questions or a series of prompts that I complete. Actually, it's me and a couple of other friends who've been doing this for years together, friends and colleagues.
You just speak it to each other?
No, we actually have a form that goes out to all of us and we complete it. And then we all see each other's results. So there's a sense of, it's not an accountability thing. It's just something that lets us all know where we're at on any given week as we're stepping into it. the general gist is one, reflect on the week that you just closed out on. How did it go? What were the big things that you feel good about that you accomplished? What went right? The next thing is generally looking at the week to come. What are the most important things for you to actually focus on and get done? Another prompt is around, what are you most looking forward to? And those don't necessarily end up with the same answers.
Sure.
You know, you might have three really critical things that you need to do in a work context, but the thing that you're looking forward to the most that week might actually be hanging out with your kid or going to listen to some music or going for a hike in the mountains. Clearly I'm talking about my own life here. Hanging out with my wife, like my friends, like, you know, doing amazing things.
Yeah.
And then it's, we sort of, you know, we share just like, you know, what else is going on with you? Like, do you need help with anything? Is there anything else just expository that you want to share? And there are a couple of questions around sort of like that. So we can kind of get a broader sense of where we're at on any given week.
Well, this is wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Is there anything else you want to say?
No, I'm good.
Okay, me too. I loved learning about Jonathan's weekly ritual, looking back on the past week, looking forward to the new week. And it reminded me to tell you that we have a thing that we do every Monday on the Best Advice Show. It's called Power Hour. Every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, a group of us get on Zoom and hold each other accountable, to the best of our ability, to work for an hour. We don't go on social media. We don't check our email. We just stay in the Zoom room, turn our cameras and microphones off, but we stay in the Zoom room and just work on our own individual stuff. It's not like collaborative. We're just in the room together. And every week, I'm telling you, we get through that hour having done something very productive without distraction. It's super helpful. Of course, it's free. If you want to join, just send me an email, zach@bestadvice.show. That's zak@bestadvice.show, and join the Best Advice Show Power Hour Club. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Jonathan Fields. You should listen to his show. It's called The Good Life Project. I hope your life is good today. Talk to you soon.